Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rookie Card Investor Podcast. It is your host, Luke, back after the National. This is a special edition. I'm going to be talking about my trip there, what I learned, kind of my objective for the show, what I bought, and kind of what I think the next, let's say, year, 6 to a year in the hobby is going to look like. So my trip there, if anyone hasn't ever flown United, I've never flown United. I've taken probably hundreds of flights in my life. Never flown United with myself buying the tickets. Maybe I flew it as a kid. But anywho, you have to check in 45 minutes early if you don't have a carry-on bag. So I literally just had my backpack because I was flying in, flying out the same day. And I missed my first flight because I was 38 minutes early, even though I would have made it to the gate because security was 5 minutes long. So if you're ever flying United with just a carry-on, I mean personal item, there's a tip for you. But my agenda for the show was three things. Meet people that I've talked to in the comment section or DM'd online. So I got to meet a couple people in that space. Got a ton of value from them because they're way more knowledgeable than me. And then I just wanted to see if there was any like C-list celebrities there. I got a photo with Boston Rob, one of my all-time favorite people's on winners on Survivor. I absolutely was starstruck. Only time in my life I've ever really been starstruck. But the other one was Phil Hughes. I have an awesome gambling-related story to Phil years ago, and he did an awesome favor for me and one of my buddies when he finds out what it is in a couple weeks at his bachelor party. But furthermore, the goal was to learn more about each of the consignment shops. So I went to ComC, PWCC, P. Robstein. I didn't get a lot of good info out of Star Stock, but I went to them, as well as the Only Alt team. And let's start with the Only Alt team. If you are new to the sports card space, they're giving away a free $10. So it's going to be linked in this. If you sign up and link your bank account, I'll get $10, and you'll also get free $10 just to play with. I'll put that disclaimer out there. And yes, there's some financial gain for both of us here, but the biggest thing is it's only 1.5% graded cards only. So there's no risk of it being on ComC and it being A, B, C, or D rank. I mean, for a raw card, you know you're going to get something good because it's only graded cards. So there's no discretion in that, as well as it's also the whole vault thing. But it's not like Star Stock where they're showing all the data. The data's there, but it's not at the forefront of the buying screen. When you're buying it, it doesn't just throw you into the stats and all the options. Like the two things I bought, there's only one or two options on it. I bought them right away. You can vault it or you can ship it back. I don't know what the price is if you ship it back because I just put money in last week. I don't think the bank transfer has actually fully gone through. They give you the funds up front. And then I know there's some sort of cost to ship it back. Maybe there's even like a 5 to 10% transaction fee, as we've seen with some of the other companies. But what their like chief strategy officer, it's a really small team. Their strategy officer said it's a volume game for them right now. And I'm not speaking on behalf of him or anything. I don't want any legal battles to come from this. This is just what the conversation I had with them was. It's a volley game. Volume game. They also have a really cool YouTube tab to kind of find the best offer so you don't have to go to 130 point. It reduces a step, a Google Chrome extension. So that is really cool. They really impressed me. They were my key marketplace that I need to do more research and do more stuff on. So it's graded cards only because that's what I prefer to buy in the under $50 range because I think there's demand for it. People aren't talking about it either. And it's 1.5% if you're selling it. So I really think there is a play here to buy stuff, potentially ship it to you, then sell it on eBay. Because I got an Alec Bohm that's selling on eBay for $40. I got it for $26. And then I got I'm blanking on it. He plays for the A's. He hits bombs like Matt Olson or something. I got that for like $15 under eBay comps as well. So granted, eBay comps are going to take 40% of it or 4.5%. It's late, $4.50, so you could still flip it right away. It just depends on what that shipping cost is. So I think there's a play there, but definitely going to try to sell those first back on the site because it's in a vault. You pay $0 for the vault. So there, I mean, these things are all going to change as they increase in volume. But right now, when it's early, I think there could be some money to be made there. When I looked at their SimilarWeb, if you go on SimilarWeb.com, it's a browser that you can see how much traffic each of these sites are getting, just so you can kind of track how many eyeballs are looking at it. Obviously, eBay is king, but you can kind of see some of these other sites and how many people are looking at it month by month. I would definitely recommend looking at that. So only alt. I would go look through their FAQ, sign up. If you want to, you can use the link that's in the description and get a free $10 to play around with. Anywho, the next one, ComC. I mean, we all know what ComC is, but pretty much they said what you're expected to hear. It's pretty good in that just base card, raw card. They said over $2 in value. I'd say around $5 in value just to make sure it makes sense because there is that 16-week lead time. So that is a very, very, very long time. What they said, the best tip from ComC was if you say you buy a hobby box of the cheaper stuff like Top Series 1 or 2 on day one, if you just rip it, take all of the base cards, you could literally send the whole box. Just send it to ComC, list everything for $1. And you're going to send them, I don't know what it is. I actually have the hobby box right here. So this is, come on, where's the hobby box? Data, how many cards? 24. Alexa, what's 24 times 14?
24 times 14 is 336.
Yeah, so 336. They said there's some people, only a couple people that will actually do it. But if you send the 336, you're going to pay $1 to get them all listed, plus the hobby box, which is going for $100. So that's $400. You're going to have some better cards in there that are worth $4 to $5 and some numbered cards and autograph stuff. So they're saying they've seen some people make 50 to 100 bucks on stuff like that. But you have to do it early and then you have to pay for it. People will look to finish their sets on that. I don't know if I'm a big fan of that play, but that's something they recommended. Obviously, there's some bias from them wanting the $1 turnaround time per each card. But well, that was an interesting play, not something that I would even think of doing or had thought of doing in my 6 months doing this. But anywho, an interesting play, and maybe I would do that. But anywho, on to PWCC. The biggest thing I wanted to ask them was, so why are there like 10 PWCC auctions for the same card at the same time? Then the price goes down. That's a strategy. I posted a video on TikTok last week for one of my current eBay strategies. And what they said was, yeah, we do that. Excuse me. They get the similar type of cards. And then once every 4 days or 10 days or whatever for that type of product, for that type of parallel, they'll list them all. So they're going to list them all at the same time. They're not going to list them when you get them. And I don't like that. I don't like that as a seller. It wouldn't be where I go. They say they do best on cards over $1,000 because it is like a 10% fee. The best for them was cards over $1,000, and the rarer the better, obviously. And if you can get the special PWCC-S label, we all know that's the best, but that's an added bonus if you do send something to them. So that's why you got to put penny sleeves on everything, that makes sense, and then get sleeves on your slabs. That was one of the things that sales representative was telling me. They definitely said they were not a player. He didn't think it'd make sense to send anything $500 or less, like, but $1,000 was his recommendation. Obviously, they're biased because they're getting more money, getting people to sign up. So that was alt, ComC, and Star. And then the last one was Star Stock. I think they have a great site. They have I don't love it compared to the other ones because it's a lot of people trying to play the same game. I don't think there's any collectors on there. There's some, but I definitely want to have some collectors in my audience of people I'm trying to sell to through these things. So that's why I tend to send more of the wimpy stuff to ComC. But StarStock, I think they said they're really focused on breaks right now, which I don't know. It seems like they're kind of getting distracted. They're a couple years in. They have an awesome product. One of my favorite products to buy stuff and play that game on. But I'm concerned with them kind of getting sidetracked lately. They're growing. They're getting bigger. So it's not that they can't handle the breaks. But, I mean, who knows what happens if they just start being one of the biggest breakers out here. So I'm curious to see if they do a thing where if the break doesn't fill, they just take them themselves. Like, if they're selling some Prism, let's say 2020 Prism, and no one wants to pay a grand or whatever it is for that break for the Joe Burrow or the Herbert card. They just take them and list them on their site. I don't know if they do that, but I think they definitely have the capital to do that in certain situations, definitely depending on the product. But that's one. I don't send a ton of stuff to them, but that's one I'm concerned about. The red flag kind of goes up a little bit higher based on them to the other ones. And then Peter Obstein, I went over to his booth and he pretty much said I didn't see him when I was there, but they just said, yeah, send us everything, auction, whatever. And it's the standard fees you can see on his Facebook page or site. If you just Google it, I don't know how he doesn't have a dedicated website, but if you just Google it, you can find him pretty quickly. So that was kind of what I learned. The National, the show itself, packed crazy. It was just full of enthusiastic people. Everyone, 80% of people were so nice. The only people that I ran into that were kind of frustrating were people that were looking to buy stuff. They'd have one or two people at booths like, yeah, let me see what you got. Oh, yeah, I paid $150 for this. Like, hey, would you do 160 or no? We'd do like 80. There were some dealers out there that weren't even in the ballpark. They're just undercutting everything, which I get it. That's the game they're playing. It doesn't hurt them to buy it unless it's at the right price. Unless someone's really trying to move something. And my best negotiation strategy was there was kind of waiting for a bigger deal to happen if I saw something going on. And then coming in right after someone spent like 5 G's on a card and saying, hey, would you like 100 for those two slabs that are like 140 in value? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, whatever. That's kind of how I time some things. Also, in the dollar boxes and stuff like that, like I got a Chris Carson rookie they were trying to get $15 for and like four other Darrington Evans cards that were all at $4. The sticker price on what I bought was like 42. And I was like, hey, you want to just do 20? And I said, yeah, sure. Just on raw cards and random people that weren't selling. So definitely just if you go to another show, just be aggressive. I always would target, maybe this is mean, but I would target maybe the young kids working at the booth or something else to try to get someone other than the head honcho working on the deal just because they're more knowledgeable than me. Most people there, 90% of the people there are more knowledgeable than me. But just trying to game the system, use my sales experience in the past to my advantage. So that was some of the stuff that I picked up. What I bought was a ton of raw cards. I've never actually pulled an Optic Blaster. Optic is probably, it's my second favorite football product in terms of value and investment perspective. I think Prism might actually get more valuable, even though it's, my opinion's changing on Prism just because it got printed so much and the quality has been so bad. So I think a lot of Prisms are in a grade 9. If you saw the Sports Card Investor show, Jeff graded like a 1 of 1 Tua or 2 out of 5 Tua, something like that. It's on his YouTube channel. And that one graded at an 8. So with all of these new color variations and all this stuff, I think the quality control is going to go down, even on some of the nicest stuff. And we just saw that Anthony Edwards graded an 8. That was a 1 of 1 that's headed to Alt, actually, I think. Or maybe Star Stock. It doesn't matter, but I do think some of the quality has gone down. You probably all agree with me. So I think the base isn't a good idea to buy, but if you can see a nice silver, I still think there's a play. I'll argue with anyone that 2019 base cards are still relevant, but anywho. So I just picked up a Vlad rookie, a Optic Blaster box. Was lucky enough to pull a rated rookie Optic Holo of Jalen Hurts. I'm big on Jalen Hurts this year just because of their strength of schedule. Has the lowest win percentage last year at 430. And I think they can win some games. They have an easy strength of schedule. Jalen, he's either going to be an all or nothing. He could run. His passing is okay. I mean, Oklahoma quarterbacks, Alabama quarterbacks, we've seen good and bad results. They're going to be aggressive there. And I think it's an interesting situation to kind of watch develop. And Philly fans are either going to love him or hate him, which the hype can hurt or the hype can help a ton because Philly fans are – I love them. I wish I was a part of a fan base like that, but I have no alliance. I've never even been to Philly. That was kind of the National. Buy and selling in my price range, and I didn't buy a ton of stuff. I came with 300. I spent probably 285 of it, but was just talking to people. It was like a 20,000 step day, two flights there. I was so focused and going through dollar boxes, which on Saturday were pretty much all picked over. I didn't find much in there at all. There was a lot of retro. There was a Topps had an exhibit of all like $1 million cards, and stuff like that. So I guess the last thing I'm gonna talk about is grading. I talked to HGA and SGC. The SGC booth was like right when you walked in one of the doors, depending on which one you went in. It was large, it was spacious, so it didn't look that packed, but they were doing free breaks. And they had a lot of people in and out, which was interesting to me. I saw a lot of SGC slabs on the floor. I have sold a couple on my eBay in the last few days. So I honestly think there's a really, really good play to buy $30 to $40 raw cards, send them into SGC and sell them all for $50. If they grade well, I think that is a play right now if you have the capital. I don't have the capital, but I have this Jalen Hurts that's selling in a PSA 10 at 315, and I kind of want to sell it before they play any games. There's going to be preseason next week. I don't know how much Jalen we're going to see. I doubt he gets injured in the preseason, but I guess I just said I'm all in on him. I'm not completely sold. I think he could be a very high upside player, but definitely don't know what could happen to him. Running quarterbacks, he's gotten hurt before. He's thrown some bad balls. He got benched in the championship game that we all know. But anywho, the SGC booth was popping. I saw a lot of slabs, even in modern cards. So definitely something to keep a handle of. If I can sell some stuff and get $300 and send 10 cards in, I would love to do it again. I was selling random Chronicles James Robinsons that I shouldn't have even graded for like $40. So I was barely breaking even on those things that I got in a blaster. So that's why I want to do that. Did not see a lot of UFC, saw a ton of soccer. I have no knowledge in soccer other than like Pulisic. And I know there's like a USA guy that a lot of people are buying. I don't even know his name. I need to level up more on that. Definitely a lot of bodies around some of the big. I did see Card Collector too. He had an awesome booth. A lot of people were working it. One of my favorite parts of the show was helping a father-daughter team. She was maybe 6 or 7. They had a 50-cent box. Maybe it was a dollar. Doesn't matter. But all she wanted was Atlanta Hawks players. And her dad was like, hey, want to help us find some Hawks players? Like, I really want to go. And we found like 10 random players. She didn't care if they were base or veterans or rookie cards. She just wanted 10 Hawks cards. It was sweet to see the hobby growing. And she got to spend her $10 of allowance that week. So, awesome show. Enjoyed every second of it. I think it'd be really cool to work my way up to having a booth there, but I don't know if having a booth would be fun. All the fun is looking at the stuff that you don't see. Lastly, I guess the HGA was doing submissions there. They said they were going to try to ramp it up to 19K per week and then try to get and just keep ramping up. They said they were buying more of their grading things and they want to have one of them here next year, but they don't have the patent yet for how they do it. So they don't want the other companies coming in and copying it, because I'm long on digital grading to get all of this through. It would definitely blow up pop counts, but I think digital grading is coming, because if you look at the PSA job descriptions, it's requiring like multi-year experience. And all these companies want multi-year experience, but no one really has that at the moment. So it looks like they're having a hard time to hire people. But anywho, that was the National. It was an awesome show, and I hope to see you next year at it. Thanks.